you have been spending more and you feel guilty about that,
that's me,
then the action plan for next year would be to cut back on the spending or earn more.
Yes.
So you can spend without that guilt, right? Welcome to CNA's Money Talks podcast. I'm Andrea Heng, and it's a brand new year, everybody. And with a new year comes New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not one to shy away from New Year's resolutions, especially when it comes to money. If you're thinking of ways, new ways to gain more wealth with much less pain, stay with me because I'm going to ask for some tips from Dawn Sher. She is better known as SG Budget Babe, and she is here to help us out. Welcome back, Dawn, to the Money Talks podcast.
Hi, Andrea. Nice studio.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you are the first guest at this new setup. What were some of your financial highlights for 2024?
It's so interesting that you're asking me this because I used to do this review every year on my blog for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think a major highlight for me was hitting 5 digits in passive income through stock dividends.
Nice.
So that was a goal I've been striving towards since I was in my 20s, and I finally hit that this year, which I think is great.
And next goal
is to make it 6 digits.
Oh, is that going to be harder though, do you think?
It is, but the good thing about all these is that it really compounds. And the truth is, I didn't have to add so much new capital to get to that 5-digit mark.
Okay.
It was really a case of the stocks that I own increased their dividends and they grew.
So that means in 2025, you're going to be a little more active just to get 10 times the amount.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've been seeing all sorts of new money hacks, money habits on social media. One of them was Project Pan by influencer Daisy Ann Mitchell on TikTok. So basically what it is she has a goal to finish all her unfinished makeup and skincare. They have to hit pan before she buys a new one. Therefore,
right.
Project Pan. I thought it was brilliant. And
yes.
I'm honestly quite inspired because I have way too much makeup. But you are SG Budget Babe. You're all over the internet talking about all things money. So you must have tried quite a few new money habits here and there over the years. Are there any new money habits for 2025 that you're hoping to cultivate?
I think it really goes back down to that 6 digits of
okay.
passive income through
All
dividends.
Right. Walk me through it.
And at the same time, I'm also building other things on the side
okay.
to get closer to greater passive income from multiple sources as I age.
You sound so busy.
I do not get enough sleep.
Okay.
But I think it's really important because I've always talked about on my blog that we should have multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
And a lot of these in my 20s were built on active sources of income.
Mm.
Now that I'm in my 30s and I have children, mm-hmm. I realize it's not always possible to exchange our time and energy for money all the time.
Absolutely.
We need to start building passively.
Yep.
So that comes from building businesses, from investing in stocks or instruments that will give us that kind of passive income. And at the same time, I'm also exploring royalties, which is something new. So then that will create another leg to my table of multiple streams of income.
I'm interested in royalties. Is that really a big market? Is there a lot of money to be made?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm actually writing a book. So I was very lucky to be offered a book deal this year.
Oh,
and
congrats.
The book is going to be launched next year.
Okay.
I always hear things about how authors are not rich.
Mm.
But we'll find out in 1 to 2 years' time.
So we know the drill, Dawn, okay? Spend less, save more. But surely it's not that simple. I am testament to that. I am finding it really difficult to just spend less, save more. It turns out that the savings that I get from spending less is really not a lot. I mean, it's pockets here and there. And I think it's especially hard to do it this time around because things are a lot more costly nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. Now, is cutting back the only answer to having more cash in the bank?
No, it's not. But I have to say two things. First of all, it is simple.
Okay.
But it's not easy.
Yes.
That's the thing.
That's the
it's
thing.
Easier to just spend. It's easier to indulge. It's easy to just go out for a good meal to reward yourself after a hard day of work.
Oh, too easy.
Yes. But it's more difficult to prep that meal and buy groceries so that you save a little bit more. And it's even harder to do that consistently when you have many things running on your plate.
Yeah.
So what is simple isn't always easy, but we have to really decide what are the decisions that we're going to make based on the outcomes that we want to achieve. The second thing, going back to your question, is cutting back the only way? No, it's not. And in fact, I feel this year, cutting back is indeed getting harder.
Yeah.
Right? The cost of living has increased.
It's so difficult.
Everything has increased. If you dine out a lot, especially, food costs are up by around 30%. So for people who dine out really often, that's where you now need to start to decide whether you want to do the harder part of prepping your own meals or potentially keep that dining out experience but cut back on other areas in life.
Yeah.
However, I always feel that cutting back is always a limit because the max you can go is just how much you spend. There is another way to it, which is to increase your earned income.
Talk to me about that.
So when you increase your earned income, whether through active or passive sources, you can actually get a lot more money versus what you spend. So when you increase that and still keep your spending moderate, you can actually get bigger difference than simply trying to cut back. Because there will be also this point when you save until you're just miserable. And what's the point of life?
Exactly. And then it feels like, oh my God, I'm working so hard to save and nothing is coming out of it.
I always talk about putting our focus on things that we can control, which is how much we spend.
Yep.
Okay, we cannot control if other people raise their prices, but we can moderate our spending and still keep to our budget. We might have to increase that budget though, but at least we're still keeping to one.
I've taken one of your old pieces of advice when I last spoke to you about, you know, buying things in bulk and buying house brands.
House brands.
I know, you are like house brand queen. I've started doing that and I have saved a chunk of money. Like my grocery bills are not $100 anymore for two people and it lasts us like months. So thank you for that. I think that it is possible, but you have to go through the hardship of it. Like you need to put in the hard work buying, making sure that you are paying attention to prices, paying attention to calculations. And I personally think while it's a bit tedious, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So what about side hustles? So you wrote something for us at CNA recently about how having a side hustle might be an option as a way of diversifying income streams. So having, because, you know, having a full-time job may not be enough to reach our financial goals, especially when things are so costly nowadays, right? So for those whom a side hustle is not an option, what would be an option for me, for someone like me, no time, no energy, to have a side hustle and I still need to work on my full-time job and give it my 150%.
There's only two ways out of it, right? Build a side hustle that requires less time and energy. And my favorite side hustle to do is to invest in dividend stocks. Because I just need to find great companies with great leadership and they are the ones who are running the business, increasing the dividends.
Not you.
Yeah, and all I do is just park my money in those stocks. Of course, there's always the risk that your money could go down if the company doesn't do well, but that's where the art of selecting and making sure that you invest in the right stocks, the right companies are at play. You also have to diversify your risk a little bit. So that's a whole conversation there. But the other thing also is I feel in today's times, there has been a lot more options for side hustles that don't take up so much time and energy as well, other than investing.
Okay.
So for instance, in the past, you had to be an influencer with a following to do affiliate marketing.
That's right.
Today, and I've just talked about this very aggressively in the last few months, there are affiliate marketing options to people who do not really have a following.
I noticed that. I started seeing that on Instagram and TikTok. I'm like, who are these people? And I realized, wait a minute, this is a way that they're earning money while doing basically everyday things.
Yes. And the thing is that these platforms have only just launched these features recently. It used to be gated to only those with a huge following. But now the everyday person can do it. There's also UGC content. I know of people who create user-generated content for brands and they do it for a nominal fee. Even though you don't have a following, you still can earn from that. Having said that, all of that is still too much time and energy, then the other option, especially for someone like you, would be to increase on your career. And if you can bargain and negotiate for a higher salary while proving to your employer that you have indeed added more value, and you'll be their loss if they lose you. That's the other option to work
on. Time for me to make an appointment with my boss. Great. What about putting, you know, a big lump sum of money that I've saved aside? What can I do with that? So instead of a side hustle per se, could I perhaps put something somewhere and leave it alone and let it grow passively,
which is what I do in dividend stocks, right? So there are different options. There is fixed income and there is equities. Okay, fixed income includes really safe options like your fixed deposits, your endowments, and basically anything that gives you a guarantee. It could even include bonds, although bonds are a bit iffy there because you have to pick the right ones.
That's right.
Right. Even the local banks give you fixed deposits that could give you a decent 2% or even 3% in exchange for a lockup.
Yeah.
So that's one way, right? Or endowments by the insurers, if you lock up for a longer period of time, you could also get those kind of returns.
Okay.
But at the other side of the picture, if you don't want to lock up your money, then you have to take on more risk.
Yes.
Investment risk.
More liquidity equals more risk.
Exactly.
What's usually a financial habit that, you know, all of us typically at the start of the year, okay, I'm going to do this and it's going to be successful. And then 3 months later, you check in on them and they're like, oh, so how's that new habit going? Oh no, it's a massive failure. So, in your observation, what's been that one habit that people, don't hope to fail, but they eventually do fail it?
To start investing.
Oh,
really?
When
it comes to money habits, it's always to start investing. I've lost count of the number of times or the number of DMs I've gotten from readers who say that, I want to learn investing, but I don't know how. I promise I'll learn it. They read books or they go for courses. And I always point my readers to different options.
Yes.
Like, there's free options. Here's your options, including like what I've
written
before.
Free some more.
Free, right? You just need the time to go through them.
Exactly.
Otherwise, if you want shortcuts, crash course, there's like workshops and crash courses that you can go for. Mm. Or if you want super detailed and you don't mind paying more money, there's of course trainers in Singapore who could do that for you for a couple of thousands as well. But some of them, interestingly, even if they take that first step to learn, the act of implementing it is then missing. And I like to check in on them to ask, so guys, how many of you have started investing this year? A lot of them have said, I've completed the lessons, but I haven't yet started. It's that inertia, it's that fear. And then I would ask, what can we do to, you know, help you overcome that?
Right.
But at the same time, there's also very little that we can do.
Yeah.
The person has to be the one to take the action.
Of course. And I'm curious about that. Like, what is it that's lacking in that inertia to make that first step? Is it fear? Is it uncertainty? Is it just risk averse?
I think it could be all of that and more. Sometimes it's really the fact that it's just inertia, right? For instance, a common New Year's resolution is to get fit. But it's a lot of inertia to get up, get off the couch, not Netflix, and go for a run, So in the same vein, a lot of people, it's just easier to leave the money in the bank or just pass it over to the insurance agent to manage or pass it over to a banker so you don't have to get involved yourself. But the truth is, it's not that hard. I think the bigger problem is a lot of people overcomplicate things. Today, it only takes a couple of seconds to open up a brokerage account because of SingPass.
Yes.
Right? And then when you're in a brokerage account, if you want something super simple, they're like, exchange-traded funds that track the index, the market index. So as long as you invest in relatively safer markets or less volatile markets, you'll still be relatively okay. Mm. But at the same time, people don't really do that. Or even if we look at guaranteed options, okay? I remember not too long ago when I talk about high-yield bank savings account versus normal bank savings account.
Yes.
How many people actually made the switch?
Yeah. It's one thing to do the research. It's one thing to be excited about it. And then you don't do anything about it, then you're not going to earn anything from it, are you?
Exactly.
Okay. I felt that one. It's the time of the year where we take stock of things, where we are in our financial portfolios and plans. When we review these plans, what's the most important thing to look at?
Whether you're on track.
Mm.
So I always feel, and everyone's goal is going to be different. If, for instance, you have been spending more and you feel guilty about that,
that's me,
then the action plan for next year would be to cut back on the spending or earn more.
Yes.
So you can spend without that guilt, right? And for instance, if you feel that you're underinsured and you really want to get to it before anything happens on your health or at the insurance side, then get to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to just book. And insurance agents are going to be very happy to just appear at your house your convenience to help you get that set up.
But what if we don't have the time to, you know, shop around, compare prices, see if we need to, you know, change insurer and stuff like that? Is it okay to just sit there and be okay and stick with what we have?
I love that you're asking this question because I always feel that time is always just an excuse. And it's not that we don't have time. It's just not a priority, right? So if it's not a priority, then what are our options? Well, it's okay to just let it sit. If you are okay with the trade-offs and the potential consequences.
Or if you find out that your current plans are still pretty good.
Yes, exactly.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. And I feel that when it comes to reviewing, people don't have to stress out so much about having to review their insurance portfolio so often.
Yeah.
I always say, just do it when your life milestone changed. So if nothing changed this year, you didn't buy a new property, you didn't have a new kid, you didn't have a new dependent or lost a dependent, then maybe you don't really have to review it. Wait for the next life milestone and then do it then. But more importantly is that when you act on this and you review, are you meeting your goals?
Yes.
Because if you're not, every year is a great chance to make sure that we recalibrate and get back on track. Because otherwise, we'll all be talking about how I want to retire at this age with this amount of money or this passive income or having this amount of interest or yields or dividends, but you never get there because you never built it despite having the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years to do so.
Yeah, indeed. And I think this is one of those biggest tips. Like if you know, reviewing shouldn't be so stressful. And I think the tip here that I really like is, you know, do your review at the major milestones in your life because that's when things really change and you need to take stock of what's happening.
I'll also give my template for the annual reviews that I do for myself.
Let's do it.
All I look at is how much did I earn?
Okay.
How much did I save? So I don't look at how much I spend anymore. I used to.
Really?
But now I look at how much I save because it's the difference that makes all the is more important.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's how much you saved in proportion to what you earned.
Exactly. Mm. And then the last thing I look at is my protection. So if nothing changed in my life milestones, I'm not going to review that. This year, I'm not reviewing that at all.
Okay.
And the final one, so just four buckets. Right, it's investing. I'll look at my investment performance on the whole to see if there's anything I can improve. And most importantly, how did I fare against the markets?
Right.
So just four things, and I think that should be a 30-minute exercise at the most.
Dawn, it's been great. Thanks very much for coming on the Money Talks podcast again.
Thanks for having me.
And we hope you've gained some insights into how to be better money-wise in 2025. If you've got any comments or questions, feel free to drop us a message. Money Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music as well. Do leave us a rating. We're going to give credits to the team as well. Crispina Robert, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Hanida Amin, Saya Win, and Chris DeLeon. I'm Andrea Heng. Thanks for listening to Money Talks.